Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Thank you all for joining us today. Today is the last day of our seven-week series based on inspiration that I've received in the book Creating the Beloved Community, a handbook for spiritual leader written by Centers for Spiritual Living minister Jim Lockhart. I have thoroughly enjoyed this season. I have thoroughly enjoyed this series because it has awakened in me the understanding that each and every one of us is a spiritual leader within our sphere of influence. And it has been my affirmation that through these talks, you will take ownership and have taken ownership of the fact of the deep knowing that who you are matters, what you think matters, what you do matters, and that everything we do, everything we think, and everything we are is a part of a vibration of creativity. So we want to be really clear on what is it we are creating, and are we creating consciously or unconsciously? It's a part of that overall mission we have here at Unity of Fairfax of awakening each life to the Christ within so that we might, in fact, create a world of peace, abundance, and respect for all creation, for this circle of life that we heard about earlier today. Well, what we're talking about is spiritual leadership, and I can't help but notice that tomorrow is a holiday. Tomorrow is President's Day, and I have to tell you the trivia and the detail around that one as well. So President's Day was initially created to honor the birthday of George Washington. Later on in the 1968, Congress passed a law, the Uniform Holiday Law, which put federal holidays on Mondays. And the intention was to ensure that workers would have three-day weekends whenever was possible. Now, we had one last weekend, not officially a federal holiday, but I know there were a lot of people who took the Monday after Super Bowl as a holiday. So I think February gets doubly blessed in that regard. So anyway, when this law was passed in 1968, enacted in 1971, Abraham Lincoln's birthday was appended to the celebration as well for President's Day, making it plural. Well, you may or may not know this, actually four U.S. presidents were born in February: Washington, Lincoln, William Henry Harrison, and President Reagan. But due to where their birthdays fall, we will never observe President's Day on an actual birthday of a president. It just proves to me the power of committee work. Well, anyway, so there's your history around that. So I hope everybody enjoys your day off tomorrow. I know our staff will. Hopefully the ice will melt so they could actually leave the house and, you know, go to the grocery store, stuff like that. But I want to talk about today the theme of leadership. Warren Bennis, who was a leader in the leadership development field, once said, "Leadership is the capacity to translate vision into reality." To translate vision into reality. So what that implies, spiritual leaders, what's your vision? What do you see as a goal and a target to be made manifest in the world? And more importantly, how will you therefore execute it? Well, here in Unity and in New Thought, we always begin in mind. We always begin with a concept, a thought, or a feeling. What's interesting for me is that the Chinese word for mind and heart actually is the same. And I would try to pronounce it, I will get it wrong, so I won't. It's just enough to know there's a cultural tie-in between mind and heart being intimately connected. And that's very similar to unity teaching as well. In the great Buddhist teaching, the Dhammapada, the Buddha says something like this: everything begins with mind, made by mind, led by mind. Thoughts of corruption lead to suffering, just as an ox pulls a millstone. Everything begins in mind, made by mind, led by mind. Thoughts of peacefulness lead to happiness, just as a shadow will follow you throughout the course of the day. So whatever your energetic charge of your thoughts, that's what you're creating. So spiritual leaders, it is always important for us to understand, are we coming from fear? Are we coming from lack? Are we coming from a corrupted thought? Or are we coming from joy? Now, I'm not placing a judgment around that, because if we are honest with ourselves, we will all find a combination. We want to be mindful and aware so that we are continually lifting our thoughts up to that vibrational space that we want, that will allow us to create that world of peace, abundance, and respect for creation, as well as happiness, vibrant health, and life for ourselves. In the Christian tradition, Jesus said something very similar, recorded first in the book of Mark, first chronologically, and then repeated in the book of Matthew with some additional commentary. We see the line where Jesus says, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles, but what comes out." This is really important, and many of us in 21st century North America or the 21st century world don't understand the impact and the power of what he was saying. In the times in which he lived, it was the way in which cultures were defined and separated was by who was clean and unclean, who was in, who was out. And these were important distinctions. And what Jesus was saying is, and your distinctions don't matter. Mine is a kingdom that welcomes everybody. This is shocking. Even more shocking was the way that apparently Christian commentators added to what he said in the book of Matthew, and this is in chapter 17, where there is further explanation given. And it's a powerful and evocative example of what he says, because the line is given that where he says that it is not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out that defiles. And he makes a comparison. He goes like this. He says, because what goes into the mouth passes through the body and goes out into the sewer. He's making a really graphic reference. But what the passage goes on to say is that what comes out of the heart are these thoughts of harm and meanness and vile things. And these create the consciousness of defilement. So, very powerful example, again, highlighting the connection between mind, heart, thought, and the creative process. Which leads us to us, and to our capacity and our willingness to really look within, to say, what am I thinking? Why am I thinking it? And this has been a recurrent theme, and all leaders have to be real clear to make the connection. Will the vision I'm holding for myself and for the world, will that be made manifest through the way in which I am showing up in the world? And when we see a disconnect, we can rectify that. And the way we rectify that is through our spiritual practice, through clarification of our values. I've been reading a lot lately, some work by the great man, Arun Gandhi. And Gandhi was the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, and he lived for a couple years in the ashram with his grandfather. We know Mahatma Gandhi as a real proponent of liberation of India and the proponent of nonviolent resistance. And I mention this because when I think about what is the beloved community, what I think about is a world free from violence. Whether that's domestic violence in our homes, whether that's violent content on social media, or whether that's the violent thoughts that we hold in our hearts and in our minds about ourselves, the ways in which we are often very unkind to ourselves. You may have had the occasion of standing in front of the mirror and saying, "Oh my God, what happened?" Things like that. Or even worse, the ways we beat ourselves up for not being perfect. The ways in which we focus on the mistakes and errors that we made. This is violence. And in the creation of the beloved community between my ears and yours, we'll want to do what we can to be compassionate as we let that go, just as we are compassionate in addressing violence in the world. Because as leaders creating the beloved community, we must be very clear on how our energetic space, how our thoughts, how our words are adding to violence or adding to peacefulness. Arun Gandhi tells a couple stories in this book, The Gifts of Anger, is what that's properly called. And one of the stories he talks about, he wanted a new pencil. You know, in the ashram, everything was used till it was complete. Well, there was a little bit of lead left on his pencil, and Arun was walking down the street, and he saw a pencil for sale, and he bought a new pencil and threw the old one away. And when he got home that night, grandfather said, "So where's your pencil?" He goes, "I got a brand new one." And Gandhi said, "Well, where is the other pencil? It still had use left." He said, "I threw it out." Mahatma Gandhi made his grandson go find where he threw it out, bring it back, and use it till it was done. Because as he said, waste is violence committed against the earth. Spiritual leaders, I ask you, as I have to ask myself, how much do I waste resources? Food scraps that could be composted, unnecessary trips and driving around, closets full of clothes that serve no purpose, that are just sitting there taking up space. Is this violence against the earth? And is this something that I want to be a part of? These are important questions that leaders like us have to lean into see if we are creating a world that works for everyone or if we are wasting resources that could benefit someone. There's another story in there as well that I thought was even more succinct and really hit my heart. Arun Gandhi tells a story that his grandfather gave him the assignment to understand violence in the world. He said, "I want you to draw a tree with two main trunks. And on one trunk, I want you to list there the things that you do that are physically violent, where getting into a fight or throwing things and that sort of thing. And on the other main limb, I want you to write down every observance of oppression, discrimination, fear-based behavior that you see in the world. Come back in a week." Well, Arun Gandhi did his assignment, and he was very excited. And he said, Grandfather, look, I did very little that was very violent in the world." And he was very proud of himself. And Grandfather said, "So show me the other side." And he noted all kinds of experiences where he'd witnessed discrimination and oppression locally and in the news and in the world. And what Mahatma Gandhi said to his grandson was, "Arun, do you not see that passive violence feeds physical violence? Wherever there is oppression and greed and all of those sort of experiences in the world, they harm people and they will ultimate in physical violence. We must work to end that side every bit as much as we end the other side. One is a cause, one is an effect." Spiritual leaders, it is our task to be aware of these things in the world. It is our task to prayerfully take the actions that will prevent the feeding of physical violence by enabling passive violence. It's a tough call, I know. And I want to share with you one last story from this powerful little book. Arun Gandhi was walking through Bombay, walking down the streets, very crowded city, very dirty city, and he was watching his steps very carefully, and he saw a package, and he stepped to move over it, and then he noticed it moved. And he squatted down and picked up in his arms a newborn child. Apparently, this was a common practice. And so he found an orphanage, took the baby to the orphanage. And at the time, he was writing for the Times of India. And he wrote a story about the orphanages and the children that were just left on the streets. He and his wife were so moved by this that they decided to help and do whatever they could to arrange adoptions with children. So in a span of about 12 years, they arranged and found 128 children homes, not just in India, but around the world. And years later, he was invited to do a speaking gig in Sweden. And he met some of these same children. And they were asking questions. Tell me about my mom. Tell me about my dad. I want to know what I can find out about them. And unfortunately, Gandhi said, I know nothing. I can't help you. It was just enough that we could help you find a home. And so many other children perished in the orphanages. Well, one of the kids got it in their heads, because I know what I'll say. I get my looks from my grandparents, and you'll be my grandparents. He said, okay, we can agree to that. So spiritual leaders, those are examples of ways that we can all work to end violence in our world. Helping children, picking up trash, not wasting things, being aware of the consequences of passive violence and active violence. See, these are the tasks at hand if we truly want to create a world that works for everyone. But that means we have to ask ourselves deep down inside, is that really what we want? It seems so much easier to get sucked into divisive politics and wall building and all these things that would separate us from them. And it seems like a much bigger task that asks much more from us to say, I'm willing to open my arms and open my heart and open my mind to the possibility of a world that I might not have ever seen before. A world of oneness, a world of unity. See, I believe Jesus saw this same vision and put it forward when he talked about the kingdom and when he modeled through his actions and his words what it takes to love everybody. Yes, even the oppressing, conquering Romans, they were included too. We've seen so much in our own recent history, very recent history. What can happen when fear and separation and lack and greed are allowed free expression? And yet there's a reason why those experiences came to the surface. I believe we are at a pivotal point, spiritual leaders, where we can leverage our recent experiences for good, where we can work and double down on understanding one another and finding what can unite us all so that we might truly have that experience of the kingdom, because it's already here. We just have to lovingly and with compassion remove the bits, remove the fear, remove the angst that would separate us one from another. And that always means we start right here. We start right here with recognizing what's happening in ourselves. Where are we feeling the love? And where are we feeling the fear? And two, through our spiritual practice, remind ourselves of who we are. Because each one of us is an individualized expression of the life, the love, the beauty, and the grace of spirit. And I promise you, as we open up to being willing to love ourselves more than we ever have, then it will be easier for us to have compassion for those who are acting out. And it will be easier for us to model the strength of character that is necessary to invite everyone into this knowing that we are all here for each other ultimately. And that ultimately everybody matters. So let's use the experiences of our times to deepen our understanding of what it means to be a spiritual leader, so that we might truly incarnate the kingdom, not just as an idea, not just as a goal, but as a manifest reality. I am convinced we are actually doing this work right now. But I want to make it conscious. I want to make us all very much aware that we are doing this. Because when we know that we are guided by Spirit in our work, then we can know our success is guaranteed. So that's my Valentine's Day message. Peace be with you and namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.